Welcome to No Compromise Radio, a ministry coming to you from Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. No Compromise Radio is a program dedicated to the ongoing proclamation of Jesus Christ, based on the theme in Galatians 2, verse 5, where the Apostle Paul said, "But we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you." In short, if you like smooth, watered-down words to make you simply feel good, this show isn't for you. By purpose, we are first biblical, but we can also be controversial. Stay tuned for the next 25 minutes as we're called by the divine trumpet to summon the troops for the honor and glory of her King. Here's our host, Pastor Mike Abendroth.
Welcome to No Compromise Radio Ministry. Steve, we can tell as many jokes today as we want since we're not paying for airtime.
Sweet. Well, you know, now that the shackles are off, let's just... I heard a really good one. Oh, okay, just kidding.
Did you hear about the priest, the rabbi, and the pope?
No.
Steve, I was sent by Ryan S. He sends me all kinds of things. I think he sends them to me and then Todd Friel, too.
Yeah, well, that's no good. How about loyalty, you know?
Yeah, next thing you know, he'll be sending to Brandon House or something. House. Something from the Sacred Sandwich. Tell the listeners, the Sacred Sandwich, do you ever read it? Is it blasphemy? Is it go against your Twitter feed or anything?
It's almost as entertaining as the church curmudgeon.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's actually pretty witty, isn't he?
Yes, he's quite witty.
There's a satirical cartoon. They have drawings, pictures, funny captions in the Sacred Sandwich. Not too much sacred stuff there, although once in a while I'll see a few sacred things.
And there's not too much sandwich either.
Why do they call it that?
I have no idea. You know, it's just kind of an alliteration, I think.
And it says here, back to Egypt. It's got a picture of a pyramid and a palm tree and sun and a camel and a couple of kids with balloons. And, of course, VBS advertisements. I think people can make a lot of money on VBS. And it says, Adventures in Spiritual Compromise.
Sweet.
Back to Egypt.
Let's go back to Egypt.
The camel says this, "Hey, kids, I'm Carnal the Camel. And this summer you can learn about God's truth Egyptian style." Now, insert, is that Bangles, Walk Like an Egyptian?
Yeah, Live Like an Egyptian.
Yes.
Live like an Egyptian.
"You start your journey as an Israelite in the wilderness, only to find a new freedom in Jesus Christ that lets you make a faith U-turn." Maybe that's like Rick Warren calling repentance a do-over when you golf.
It's a second chance. It's a mulligan.
That's right. "Enjoy your best life now with stops at Party Pyramid, Toyland Oasis, Pharaoh's Job Corps, and more. Jam to cool Bible songs and pig out on tasty Nile treats as you discover an amazing faith friendship with the world."
Nice.
So while we're talking about it, I said to myself, Steve, when I read this, oh, that's cute. It's a nice little parody. But I would say 90% of the VBSs that are out there, Vacation Bible Schools, I say 90% of the curriculum is exactly this under the guise of a few Bible verses and morality lessons.
Sure, because if you're living a moral life, then God is pleased with you. It doesn't matter what your heart is. He's more concerned with the external obedience.
Yes, so let's teach the kids lesson one, day one. Honor your parents. I'd go for that.
Mm-hmm.
Be truthful. No, let's make it alliterative. Honor your parents. Honesty is the best policy. Home is where the heart is. And hone your morality.
And avoid anything but G-rated movies.
Kim, my wife's brother, Steve, he's a believer. He lives in California. And he always tells me the story when he was a kid, when Jesus commanded the Sea of Galilee to be still. The account in Mark, I believe, Mark 4 says, "Even the wind and the seas obey him." He didn't even know what English. So when you're looking for a VBS curriculum, which they'll be starting to send those things out soon, spring is soon, right around the corner, what should they look for? What should you look for in a VBS?
Well, I think you might want to start with the Bible and then, you know, the gospel, you know, just basics. What do kids need to hear? Pretty much the gospel over and over and over again until the day, Lord willing, that they believe.
My favorite thing is, Steve, when I see the adverts sent to the church building, and I get the mail sometimes and look through it, and they're advertising their VBS, and this is the new curriculum, hit it out of the park, you know, Yankee strike out again or something. I don't know, whatever it is. They have different versions, and you could check the version you want. So it's the mainline Protestant version, although they just say Protestant, and then they have the Roman Catholic one as well.
Nice.
And so you can just take these things and teach the kids good manners. At least the kids are out of the house for a few hours per day in the summer. That's always a good thing.
And we're theologically flexible. Yes. You know, hey, and just think about it this way. You could use the mainline Protestant one year and then the Roman Catholic one the next year.
And ask the kids if there's a difference.
Hmm.
And probably there's not going to be very much of a difference, maybe Bible translation difference, but pretty much these VBSs these years, it's all morality. You could actually use the Quran, couldn't you, or the Book of Mormon, to come up with some principles for life, right?
Sure.
Because God's given us conscience. He's given us revelation in nature. And people know, don't murder, tell the truth. That's how you have a good society.
Don't steal.
Yeah, don't steal. So anyway, when it comes to VBS, what we've been doing at Bethlehem Bible Church, sometimes we have to write our own, although that's quite the project.
Yes, it is.
And the other times we've been using OPC VBSs.
Really?
See all these letters we have to use, OPC VBS? And Orthodox Presbyterian Church puts out a really good VBS curriculum. And every day, it's 5 days, it's Jesus is... maybe the way. Jesus is God. Jesus is risen from the dead, or whatever those are. Five things about Jesus. Last time I checked, Vacation Bible School, John chapter 5, Luke 24, even the Old Testament speaks of Jesus. So I think that's a good VBS.
So a lot of churches are just having vacation school then.
That's right.
What's different about this year, Pastor? We took the Bible out.
So that's right, taking the B out of the VBS.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, good. Speaking of letters, so you didn't know, Steve, this was going to be the letter day. You thought it was going to be Common Myths part.
So it's probably a red letter day.
It's probably red. I actually like red letter Bibles, not because I say to myself, this must be more inspired since it's Red India ink or something. But I just like it because, for the most part, I trust the translators and say, oh, yeah, these are the words that Jesus is speaking as I'm looking at a dialogue between the rich young ruler or something.
Yeah, it's kind of a shortcut. So, yeah, I like that, too.
Yeah, okay.
I do.
We can't trust him all the time, though, can we?
No. And, you know, I think about out of the millions of Bibles I own, there's probably only, you know, one or two that are red letter. So
why choose the PC USA? The PC USA is
because it's American.
That's right. Presbyterian Church USA. Now, just to give you listeners kind of an overview, while we aren't Presbyterians, we know a few Presbyterians, don't we?
We do.
Yeah,
we even like a couple of them.
So. On the spectrum of Presbyterianism, you have liberals and you have conservatives. On the liberal side, you would have the PC USA. That's what we're going to talk about today. But there are some good Presbyterians, OPC, that we just referenced earlier, the Only Perfect Church. Oh, wait a second. The Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Did I just say that?
Little shout out to the OPC.
Yeah. And PCA, Presbyterian Church of America.
Yep.
Ligon Duncan's PCA. Carl Truman would be an OPC. So there's a couple guys I respect.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what they talk about when they get together. Carl's always busting on the associate pastors at PCA churches wearing their khaki shirts and khaki pants and polo shirts.
My guess is they're, you know, it's like the two Baptists who met on the Golden Gate Bridge, right? You know, and they're arguing about the different confessions of faith, something like that, you know. Well, the third paragraph of Westminster says.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to read this from the actual Presbyterian Mission Agency. This is a document from the PC USA. It's the liberal denomination. It's the one that asks the questions about, you know, what about same-sex marriage? It's okay to ordain homosexual marriage. It has a variety of things like that. It's off the deep end.
Well, and the amazing thing is it wasn't always, but okay.
Yes. So it says here, some congregations are wrestling with whether or not to maintain their connection to the Presbyterian Church USA. By the way, Steve, lots of those churches have some conservative folks in them, and they're leaving. And so now the PCA USA is freaking out. What happens when a congregation leaves with the building? Can they take it? And so it's a problem. This little piece of paper, the document, is trying to belay the floodgates. Yes,
oh,
yes.
Yeah,
it says here.
Kind of calm things down.
The following are just a few of the many reasons for them to choose to remain with the denomination. So let's just say it's Bethlehem Bible Church, and we're in the denomination of Bible churches, and it wouldn't be independent fundamental Bible churches.
Sure.
So, yeah. But it'd be, what's IFCA again?
Independent.
I Fight Christians Anywhere.
Fundamentalist. I Fight Christians Anywhere.
So these are reasons why you should stay in a denomination. And so without reading this, Steve, okay, with all seriousness, what would be some reasons to stay in a denomination for a real Bible church? You want to stay in a denomination because why? Because the statement of faith is Christ-centered? I mean,
sure,
let's talk along those
lines. Would
be
a reason. And I mean, you know, if perhaps, you know, like some denominations have a theory that you can have a greater impact in terms of missions and things of that nature.
Okay, cooperative, getting together. Maybe it's kind of like a chain of Ace Hardware stores. You're independent, but you all put together your name as Ace, and now you have a buying conglomeration.
Yeah, and
attitude.
It would make it easier for people who, in your denomination, who go on vacation to find a local church to visit while they're gone, right? Because they would kind of brand identification. They'd go, oh, well, there's another Bible church. I can go to that one. It teaches the same thing as my Bible church does, right?
See, I like that. There are reasons to stay in a denomination. This is how many baptisms there have been this year, and the Lottie Moon Fund, and, you know, who knows? There are reasons. But this is trying to keep Presbyterian churches from fleeing to go to more conservative Presbyterian denominations like the PCA. My guess is PCUSA folks wouldn't go to the OPC. They'd probably go to the PCA first.
Right, where
they like khaki, I guess.
Yeah, I think some of those folks, you know, eventually they might be some leaven, but we'll see.
In no particular order, it says here the scriptural emphasis on unity. While unity does not require all Christians to be one in denomination, it is important for us to consider what Jesus' prayer for unity among his followers means for us today, John 17. So we've got unity over what?
Truth.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. Well, you know what? You might disagree with us on small issues like how do you get to heaven? What's God's
deity of Christ?
Small things like that. But, you know, what about unity? Come on.
What constitutes a marriage? Human sexuality, preference, gender ID.
Infinitesimal compared to unity.
See, doesn't it go back, Steve, ultimately? And I just hear the MacArthur interviews with Larry King reverberate through my mind. My son's been watching some of those on YouTube, and he says, John does the same thing every single time. Whatever question they ask him, whatever Dairy Queen.
Freudian slip.
I meant to say Larry King, and I thought of Dairy Queen, and I said Larry Queen. But it was all unintentional.
You're thinking about lunch.
Yeah, at least we don't have to pay for this particular show.
Yeah, thank you. Shout out to our sponsor.
WV who? Anyway, John always goes back to the gospel, or he goes back to the Bible says. And so once a denomination says to itself and to its adherents, its members, its churches, the Bible's not the ultimate authority. Science is, reason, tradition, the wind of the world's agenda. It's over, Steve. It's absolutely over within a generation.
Well, you know, when you mention reason, I just think about fairness, equity, justice, all these kind of things that people wrongly mix in, and it ultimately is reason, but they mix in together with their religion, with their church, and so you wind up with churches like this, mainline Protestant churches usually, that are more concerned with social justice than they are with what the Bible says.
Steve, and it all relates together, because why choose PCUSA? According to the Presbyterian Church USA, I got it from their website, it says the PCUSA in its many expressions, is engaged in work across the full range of the gospel's concerns. So these are the gospel's concerns.
Okay. Now, I did not read any of this, so go
ahead. I know. Yeah. Preaching and worship.
Oh, that's good.
Evangelism. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Education, care for the poor, work for the well-being of the environment, and more. The PCUSA is committed to the great ends of the church, capital G, capital E, a commitment to the whole gospel for all people.
Is the environment I don't do that. I mean, when I preach the gospel or when I, you know, evangelize somebody, I'm not usually, and by the way, are you taking care of the environment? Do you recycle?
When a denomination doesn't know what the gospel is, we've got a serious problem, and I think I would want to flee. If I'm in the PCUSA church and I'm a leader, I got to get out of there, take the church with me. And if I'm a member, I've got to get out of there too. They don't even know what the gospel is.
Can you imagine a sermon like on planning your trips carefully so that you don't waste any extra gasoline?
Steve,
are you minimizing your carbon footprint?
The gospel is talking about the good news of Christ's life, death, atonement, resurrection. It's the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. What does this have to do with feeding the poor? Of course, people who have been saved will respond by being kind to poor people, but that's not the gospel.
When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink.
Did you hear about the pastor? I just read this that I don't know if it's true or not, but supposedly he's the new pastor hired. It's his first Sunday. They're going to welcome him, and he had dressed up like a homeless person.
Oh,
supposed 10,000-person church, dressed up like a homeless person who was wandering around before the services and asking for money and all this, and everybody was ostracizing him, and then he walks up there as the new pastor.
I saw a picture of him, and you know what? I think he was going for the Apostle Paul look. I mean, he was kind of looking.
Doesn't the Bible say something about we're not supposed to have any images?
No graven images. Well, it also says, you know, we're supposed to care for the poor. It is funny, you know, you just think about James and what he says about, you know, kind of playing favorites, and the rich guy shows up and you want to sit him right up in the front of the thing. And really, it is something that people do wrestle with, but I don't know if that's the way I would want to introduce myself to a new church. That's just me, though, because
I just think to myself, what do I do the next week?
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's an object lesson that they probably won't soon forget, and that'll be the object lesson they use to throw him out.
Uh-huh, that's exactly right.
Hey, thanks a lot for that object lesson. You're fired.
Mike Avenroth, Steve Cooley, No Compromise Radio. You can go to NoCo90.com to pull up some videos. By the way, I'm still trying to get Steve Cooley to do a NoCo90. I think he would get more looks and views and hits than Friels, Todd Friels.
I'm seriously dubious of that.
Next to Where's Beth Moore's Husband, Friels got the most. So it's not even his show, his idea, his concept, and he gets more hits than any other episode I've done.
Really?
Yeah. One of my favorite concepts, I don't know if the show's any good, the 90-second deal of you got credit for Adam's sin, it's got like 1/20th of the Beth Moore deal.
Mm. Well, you know, who's more popular, Beth Moore or Adam? You know, I mean, that's, I mean, how many books has Adam written lately? I mean, come on.
As long as Beth Moore's, you know, I was going to say her sin. I think it is a sin for her to teach men. But as long as her sin's not credited in my account, I'm okay. There are four great imputations in the Bible.
And Beth Moore's not one of them.
Why choose the PCUSA? Here's what it says. God's Spirit continues to work in congregations throughout His denomination, this denomination. Even as we decline in membership numbers, there's new life springing up all over, often in surprising places.
I thought they were going to say, even as we decline in biblical fidelity, there's new life springing up in...
It talks about there's new life springing up in a surprising place like downtown churches that address sex trafficking on their corners and in many other shapes and forms.
See, now,
rhombuses and trapezoids.
Now, is that something, you know, that it's an evil, right? I mean, the question is that the primary role of the church to run around and try to stop sex trafficking? What do we want to do? You know, can we stop something like that? Do we want to change laws, or do we want to, you know, preach the good news and allow the Holy Spirit to change hearts?
What I would suggest a PCUSA person to do is to read Romans and ask yourself the question, what's missing from this great book of Romans? It's all about righteousness. We have none. God richly supplies his son's righteousness to all those who would believe, and then it affects your life. And there were problems of sex trafficking in Rome at the time. There were slavery issues. There were poor issues. There were homeless issues. There were people treating women poorly, right? It was a very sexist, male-dominated women or chattel kind of thing.
Yeah.
And what did Paul do? Paul didn't write about that at all. He avoided it because the gospel was of first importance.
Did you know in Rome, you could not even, if you were a woman, you could not even get a driver's license?
Well, what about that VBS camel? Could you ride the VBS camel around?
Well, you know, sure.
Yeah. Back to Egypt.
Back to Egypt.
That kind of thing. And so the other thing I'd have you do is read one of my top five favorite books of all time outside the Bible. And that would be Christianity and Liberalism by a Presbyterian of all
people.
Orthodox Presbyterian, OPC. He would be an OPC guy today. Didn't he even start the OPC denomination? I think I'd have to ask D.G. Hart, but Carl Truman would know the answer too.
Well, you know, I have the answer actually in the other room because I have a class syllabus on every single denominational split in the 20th century. So,
okay. Yeah. And so I think
In fact, I think Carl McIntyre was involved in forming the OPC.
Okay. So it's a great book written in 1929, is my guess, Erdmann's, and it talks about this very issue, liberalism. And so once the gospel is abandoned, you're going to go do something else. And so here we have the social gospel, the liberal gospel. I'm not surprised that once you abandon inerrancy, infallibility, sufficiency of the scripture, you then start doing other things like sex trafficking issues. I don't like sex trafficking, but that's not the church's primary focus because we have a redemptive focus.
And it's so easy to get caught up. I mean, that is a good thing, right? But it's easy to get just sort of detoured into all these different good things. And all of a sudden you find yourself spending zero time on the gospel.
Steve, since we're not paying for this particular show.
At all. Not even a cent.
What blame do you put at the feet of the Tim Kellers of the world who emphasize the social aspect of the gospel's outworking?
Well, they make it cool, right? I mean, Tim Keller makes it evangelical and cool at the same time to be concerned about these things. He's sort of – it's subtle because you can listen to a lot of what he says and just go, yep. But it's that little – you know, it is really like the leaven that spoils the whole lump because it's just a little bit. And what happens is some people – it's not Tim Keller necessarily that I would – be concerned about. If I were looking at the big picture, I would say, well, what comes after Tim Keller, or what do the disciples of Tim Keller teach? Because the further you get away from Tim Keller, the more you're going to find that his teachings take people off into uncharted waters.
So if it would be Machen's warrior stepchildren, we could have Keller's social foster children.
Yeah, they're going to be more errant than he is. And, you know, they're going to get further and further away from the truth until it's going to be unrecognizable. I mean, that's much like what's going to happen when Rick Warren finally leaves the scene, whenever that is. The people who follow him will be absolute liberals. You won't be able to tell that there was any Christianity ever there.
Why choose the PCUSA? The PCUSA is the heir of a great confessional tradition found in the Book of Confessions.
Was that error as in E-R-R-O-R?
Because we have a great traditional confession.
Which
we abandoned.
Stemming
back to Westminster Confession of Faith, which we totally don't go for today.
Yeah, that's really great. We love the Westminster Confession of Faith. We keep it in the office under lock and key. We break it out. You know, for
my last bit of advice for those of you in the PCUSA and you're really born again, you're real Christians and you have a heart of love. I want to help my denomination. If I can stay, I can influence them. I understand those feelings, but pull up on the internet, Robert Godfrey, a Presbyterian, The Myth of Influence, and read that. And then with a tear in your eye, you're going to have to leave your denomination.
I mean, that would be like a drop in the bucket compared to this, but I've heard, you know, Roman Catholics, I'm going to stay in and change it from the inside. No, you're really not. You know, you're one of 1.2 billion people, and you're Joe Nobody at the end of the pew.
And even Pope Francis is not going to change the Council of Trent, in my opinion.
No, he's not, although he's working at it. He's really working at it.
So, NoCompromiseRadio.com. You can write me at info@NoCompromiseRadio.com, and you can write Steve at
TuesdayGuy@NoCompromiseRadio.com.
Hey, this was a free show today.
Absolutely free.
Get what you pay for.
No Compromise Radio with Pastor Mike Abendroth is a production of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston. Bethlehem Bible Church is a Bible-teaching church firmly committed to unleashing the life-transforming power of God's Word through verse-by-verse exposition of the sacred text. Please come and join us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 10:15 and in the evening at 6. We're right on Route 110 in West Boylston. You can check us out online at bbccchurch.com. Or by phone at 508-835-3400. The thoughts and opinions expressed on No Compromise Radio do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE, its staff, or management.